these become really challenging things. There's no way that you can just spawn 80 entities in Unity like this with our Horizon avatars and expect to have it work. So the magic that is being reached for in many cases is that, well, cloud rendering would let us use much more powerful systems than the current headset systems, and we could add a bunch more on there. And like I said earlier, I'm very supportive of cloud rendering architectures, but I have to pull back a little bit and say that, well, there's going to be a lot of costs there. That would cut off a lot of people that don't have the bandwidth to be able to have that high quality of a connection. It does have some negatives on the quality when you're dealing with the cloud connections versus local rendering. And the step after that, what I had suggested well before we really spun up this metaverse stuff, is that we should do a Horizon in the cloud as a separate technology development project, where we can certainly run it as a cloud application now, just compile the PC version and run it globally. And that's the most flexible way to do things, but it runs into some of these quality challenges there. Now, there's a ton of other things that you can do with sort of hybrid applications where you want to say, like, your local hands or controllers and your local UIs, you could make an application where all of that is done locally on your headset and only the crowd of other people is done with cloud rendering and kind of pulled into it. And I think that there's talk about wanting to make that sort of a general purpose application interface, and I don't think that's going to work. I don't think many applications are interested in refactoring the way they do things. It's not a trivial thing. Just run your app in the cloud is pretty trivial. You bite off a whole lot of downsides, but it just works. Splitting your application up into locally rendered things and compositing with cloud fragments, that's the type of thing that I think is application specific, and rather than spinning out some general technology SDK, we should just try to take Horizon and work all of that out. Maybe we find out there are some great kind of ways to slice it that are maybe more general purpose, but I'm concerned that it would be pretty specialized, but it could still be sort of what we want to do for cloud rendering, or for Horizon at least. Now, this actually goes back to like the wheel of technology just kind of reincarnating over and over again. Way back in, heck, probably the late 80s, there was a windowing system called NUSE that let you write certain UI things to be executed on your local system that might be connected by a very low bandwidth connection or modem link or something to a larger system that's doing the rest of the rendering. And people had a hard time with that then, and I think it's very much the same thing, and people will continue to have a hard time with it. But sometimes if you've got to solve a problem, it's the thing to do. But even with cloud rendering there, it's not a panacea, where the PCs are fast. They're 10 times faster than what we have on our mobile headsets. But there's already a dozen metaverse wannabe VR applications running on the PC using all of the power of the PC, and none of them are magic and are making everything amazingly work. And even with the power of the PC, you can't scale up both avatar count and avatar quality at the same time. We can't talk about codec avatars and crowds of people. They just don't work right together. And even worse, the economics of this get really bad. We can't just take the very latest 3090 GPU and run all of those in cloud instances for everyone. That's just fundamentally expensive, even before you account for sort of the NVIDIA data center tax of running things there. And in fact, NVIDIA is building all these technologies to let you fragment up cloud GPUs into smaller pieces so you can give less power to individual cloud instances. And that's useful for some things, but we might wind up with cloud instances that are only 2 times as powerful as our mobile system. And then you run encoding and all the other things on there and the other downsides, and it might wind up being almost a wash or not such a great idea. Perhaps the biggest saving grace for it would be that cloud rendering lets us then sort of project the metaverse onto any device really trivially. Anything that could accept a video stream could go ahead and have full featured interface there. Easy to port, easy to bring up, lots of benefits there. But still, if someone had asked me in the year 2000, like I'm working on Doom 3 at the time, and they said, could you build the metaverse if you had 100 times the processing power that you've got on your system today? And that's about where we are. Like, our modern mobile systems are about 100 times as powerful as a lot of PCs of that era. And I would have said yes. It would have been a serious optimization challenge. There's all these things that you might have had to do to make it work out well. But you know, if I had to make the metaverse work just on our mobile hardware today, I think it could. It would be an optimization challenge, which is sort of the problem where everybody that wants to work on the metaverse talks about the limitless possibilities of it, but it's not limitless. It is a challenge to fit things in, but you can make smarter decisions about exactly what is important and then really optimizing the heck out of things like that. But that's different than just saying, I want magic technology to fix all of this. I want to be able to have my designers not care what's going on. They should just be able to do amazing, cool stuff. And that's not really, you know, where we are. So, and then to be even more contrarian here, I have to say, it's like, are we necessarily even aiming for all the right targets with the social metaverse, where the feeling of co-presence is the big bet? And that is, it's completely understandable why, you know, a company like Facebook or Meta would, you know, would make that play. It's what's, you know, it's what the company is built on. But, you know, in truth, a lot of the luxury items in reality are freedom from co-presence. You know, it's a private office, a private beach, a private plane. You know, sometimes these things are just add people is not always a positive, especially for people that are a little more on the introverted side of things. And there's also this notion that building all of these 3D things, 3D art, 3D objects, that these are the critical factor that people are going to love so much in the metaverse. And I do keep coming back to this point that I've made a few times, that almost all of the value of the stuff that we've built in our culture today is represented on flat screens. You know, there's trillions of dollars of all the software and media and assets and things that are built around flat screens. And I've made the pitch before that perhaps a sufficient argument for VR is to just say it's screens and people as the primary thing, where you've got that ability to have your friends together in a small room, and you've got the ability to bring up all of the things that you do on your other devices in VR in more flexible screens. And then the VR specific things, the actual games, the Beat Sabers and things, that those may be sort of the interstitial things that complement rather than define the medium. And I made an extension of that, where for the metaverse, maybe the metaverse is just lots of screens and lots of people, that maybe there is a screen-focused world where everything that people do with photography and videography and all of that just has this amazing place in a virtual world where you've got the flexibility to have those presented all over the place, where everybody can do magical things with video today and photos, where not everybody can do that many magical things with 3D modeling and 3D art. Some can, but it's a tiny fraction of the people. Maybe it extends like video has, and it gets democratized so that everybody gets to take part in that. But also, maybe that takes a while. So I kind of keep pushing on. It's like, let's make sure that we get all of our screens right, that we get the ability to handle everything, all the types of apps, all the types of cloud services, that everything that anybody does on a piece of glass today, you should be able to do in the metaverse, hopefully more flexibly and better in various ways than you can on the existing devices. Because I want our VR headsets to subsume and replace other devices. I don't want it to be the thing that you have in addition to your TVs and consoles and computers and laptops and all of these things. It needs to take the place of at least one and hopefully more things. That's been so much of the value that mobile phones have brought into the world, where they replaced a whole pile of things and brought, you know, all their new value in addition to that. But it's this kind of subsuming the other things that I think is, you know, is really a core part of the value. Now, everybody agrees that a closed platform doesn't deserve to be called the metaverse, but there's a spectrum where you can have completely open Wild West sorts of things, and then you can have completely locked down single application platforms. And it's, you know, it's a pretty good bet that we're not going to be all the way over on the Wild West side of things. I'm certainly partial to that direction, but a lot of the strenuous advocates for that, it has to be accepted that centralized systems provide most of the value in the world today, and there's reasons for that other than just accidents of history. It is easier to make better, more valuable experiences in many ways with a centralized system. I mean, all the issues with federation and standardization, there's good value that comes out of all of that, but it comes at a cost, and you can't really just ignore it. And like on the commerce side of things, everybody agrees you have to be able to make a living in the metaverse. Commerce is going to be some part of it. But I usually have, like, I use adult entertainment as a litmus test for how open a platform is there. You know, if there's adult entertainment, it's a very, very open platform from a commerce standpoint. We probably won't be there. You know, I halfway jokingly suggest certain things along those lines occasionally, but you know, it's unlikely that we're going to be in the completely open crypto world of things. You know, the libertarian in me loves the idea of unstoppable global cash transactions, but you know, I'm also well aware of the kind of swamp of scams and the spam that I have to clear out of my timeline every morning dealing with that side of things. So I've actually got a bet that I'm kind of sorting out with somebody about the relative adoption of federated versus closed systems over the next 18 months. And it's going to be interesting how things play out, because I can envision worlds where it goes either way, and we really don't know at this point. So we're still kind of figuring a lot of these things out. Now, the most obvious path to the metaverse is that you have one single universal app, something like Roblox, where if you've got a Turing complete extension language and you've got sufficient interfaces, in theory, you can do anything inside any app. I mean, we're all running all of our apps inside the operating system, and it just kind of defines however many turtles you stack on top of things. It kind of opens up the levels of abstraction there. But I'm, you know, it's probably, I doubt a single application will get to that level of taking over everything. The problem is that if you make a bad decision at the central level, nobody can fix it. You know, you can kind of cut off entire swaths of possibility, things that might be super important. And I just don't believe that one player, you know, one company winds up making all the right decisions for this. So the next step down would be to have, you know, our metaverse be something like a giant Unity plugin, so that anybody could build an app with this massive base layer of functionality. And that's sort of where we are today, where we have Horizon Worlds, Horizon Workrooms, Horizon Venues that are all Unity applications built using many of the same technologies, but it's far from a clean integration right now. It's huge issues where Workplace goes and does all this great work. It doesn't flow back into Horizon. It's a mess right now, but we could imagine that getting straightened out to the point where you drop in this huge block of code on top of things and you've got this baseline functionality. So it's kind of like I remember asking my younger son why he was enjoying kind of playing with Minecraft mods a little more than Roblox mods, because Minecraft had all of this stuff already there, while more things had to be built from scratch in Roblox. So there's interesting aspects there. And then the lowest level would be just kind of sharing avatars, profiles, friend graphs, things like that, kind of like we do as just cleaning up the APIs that we already offer to places. And it is great when you get, I mean, I love VR applications where I've got friend scoreboards and I can see profile pictures from them there, and it's easier to kind of invite your friends to things. And those are all good things, but you know, it's really not the metaverse. But on the other side of that, where while Horizon Worlds, Workrooms, and Venues are all Unity apps, Horizon Home is really a rebranding of VR Shell, where it's a C++ application. So we have to interact with all of these things to get the avatars and the profiles and all of these things that happen in the Unity world happening in our C++ world. And we're still spinning that up, and there's a bunch of challenges for it. So there's some styling of the upcoming hardware as being kind of metaverse oriented. And I really don't like that, and I keep pushing back wherever I hear some of these things, where it's important to say that all of these future of work and metaverse things, all of them will work just fine on Quest 2, where the upcoming high-end hardware will add some of these features like facial tracking and more world understanding that might add some things on top of these, but they are not central to the experience. And it is going to be significantly more expensive. So it's going to be you know, really interesting to see the relative adoption of this. Now, hardware development takes a long time, and we have multiple new headsets in the pipeline. And this is the first year in a while that we haven't announced a headset at Connect. Part of that really is an artifact of, again, truly heroic effort to actually get Quest 2 shipped last year. But it's still true that there's only so many points that we can test. The solution space for hardware is large. You can say more or less of a whole slew of different things, and you can say binary features of have or have not on lots of other things. So we get to make kind of one bet a year about this, and that is point sampling a complex high-dimensional function and hoping that we can pull a lot of good information out of it. You know, eventually, the mature VR headset market should cover all the niches that mobile phones do, everything from $50 budget phones to $2,000 ultra-luxury phones. But we only get to make a couple points. We used to, early on in Oculus, talk a lot about the possibility of kind of second or third party headsets that could interoperate with our ecosystem. That turned out to be really challenging to do because, like Mark said, we sell our headsets, you know, at a loss or break even. There's no profit in the headset. So there's no way that a company could go and say, I want to make a budget headset. I'm going to undercut the prices here without wanting to be able to negotiate for a cut of the ecosystem revenue. You know, that's just kind of the way those things work. And on the high end, while we could imagine somebody going and saying, well, I'm going to make a very expensive headset, most of the interesting features that we talk about, things like eye and face tracking and world tracking, these are things that require deep core system software integration to really make them valuable. And so we can't work that closely with another company dealing with that. It's just really, really challenging. There's still a couple spots where it might work. If a company made a super wide FOV headset or a super high resolution headset that was still basically the same thing, it's still exactly the same sensors or exactly the same modalities that we have in Quest 2, maybe something like that could work, but there's nothing like that kind of really going on right now. So cost is really critical. I always worry about kind of disruptive innovation where so much of the time the things that come out as being cheaper than the things where people were focusing on quality. And I worry a lot that we have people in research and product that have access to the best things that we could possibly build.